Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. Friday, one day into the NCAAs. That's what I get. I absolutely deserve exactly what I got, and I will apologize. I don't know if I have to apologize to all the Kentucky fans for actually for the first time ever, years and years of putting brackets together, and I somehow was compelled at the end to pick Kentucky. I mean, you gotta be kidding. I'm delighted for in Jersey City. I can only imagine what what went on. It's funny. I talked to not one but two people this morning who didn't know that St. Peter's existed, and I guess it doesn't come as a, shouldn't come as a complete surprise, right? I unbelievable, just amazing. The only thing more embarrassing, involving Kentucky is Tom Massey, but that's a separate conversation. The contest, and I'm very impressed that a number of participants. We got 110 entries this year in the At the Races bracket challenge, and there's a number of tickets that are right on it. So well done. I was in trouble early, and you know, it's funny. Somebody on selection day, somebody had made a comment that I got included in because they had mentioned Colgate in regards to Iowa, and the guy by the name of John said, "I'll be amused when Iowa gets knocked off in the first round by some random team like Colgate," and somehow I got dragged into it, and I saved it. I responded. And I said, "Me too." If we were going to, you know, match up against Iowa somehow and win and tonight 9:50 against Wisconsin, but I did. It was in the back of my mind, and so at first I had picked against Iowa, and then you know I brought in some other stuff that I was reading and this and that, and I like Richmond. I like the Richmond Spiders. And I stupidly changed back. And at first I had picked Richmond, and then I switched over and picked Iowa. So that was a disaster. And a couple of, that's the worst thing that happens, you know, when you try to be, right, when you do this, you try to be, and the same thing in handicapping. You try to be logical, and in some cases it goes against, you know, some emotional selections and some teams. I mean, there's a handful of college teams over the years they've, you know, have come to have affection for, like Xavier. You know, when I was in Cincinnati, I became a Muskie fan. Valpo, which was such a great story, and I actually driving one day, I was driving to Chicago, and I saw a sign. Valparaiso was like, you know, an hour off the road. I said, you know what, I want to go see this school, so I know what it looks like. So I drove to Valparaiso, and I got a really cool sweatshirt actually in the bookstore. So yeah, you get certain affections, and then when you, you know, instead of going with some of those, I went with the logicals and you know, that, so that's got me like buried, when you get the team you pick to win, one of your, you know, your main bracket gets eliminated as a two seed. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So I'm sure everybody is just shell shocked, and of course, the state will turn and get behind Murray State. So that Murray State will get the lion's share of the attention. speaking of attention, Rich Eng deserves some attention as we merge into the weekend conversation and a lot of the action. You know, it's a funny weekend. Oakland is the principal, you know, the two great at stakes. But there's some nice, it's actually some nice cards and some interesting things. I know Santa Anita's giving away the, they're forcing out the pick six. And, yeah, so there's plenty of things to keep us occupied. But Rich Eng, how about Rich, if you're just listening to the replay, if you missed him live yesterday, if you heard him live, you had a chance, as I tweeted this morning early when I got up. I had fallen asleep. I got a little cold, actually, from, I came, you know, I knew in Ocala that I was kind of fading and maybe getting sick. But Rich yesterday, we had just enough time for him to provide you with a really good opinion. And I tweeted this morning, as good as Rich's handicapping acumen I used, his sports opinions, when we talk to him, and NCAA's every year, you know, last year you recall, you know, Rich very helpful as well, and you know, he's got, you know, the kind of research mind that's analytical for this. And his note yesterday about how he was taking a stand against that Mountain West, and Wyoming had already lost on Wednesday in the play-in game. And then the other three follow suit yesterday. So you, if you responded quickly and, you know, got down on the three games yesterday, well then, you know, you made out, right? Boise State, and that was a good game. It wasn't as if that the Boise State game was quite good. And but then San Diego State, I guess that was late, right? I was long gone. And happy for the Blue Jays. Always happy when Creighton does well. And who was the other one? San Diego, Boise. Oh, Colorado State, who had been, we talked yesterday, how Colorado State had been a fashionable push. And I read an interesting postscript to this about how that whole league, and this must be one of the things Rich latched on to, is a very defense-oriented league. And that it does not serve you well in this tournament. You know, defense is nice to have, obviously. Can't win without defense, but offense in the tournament. And that's what this one analyst was relaying, that's what's ailing the Mountain West in the tourney. But Rich goes 4-0. So well done. And of course his Bengals, you know, he had the Bengal play to win, you know, to win the AFC on a future ticket. I mean, Rich knows what he's doing. In fact, maybe we'll reach back out and we'll have a little bit. Maybe I'll get Rich at the end of the show today after the Cheltenham Gold Cup. It is, in fact, let's get that scene set for you too. Cheltenham Gold Cup Day to round out the stand, one of the great races, not just in steeplechase racing, but one of the great racing days and individual races in the world. Cheltenham Gold Cup today, which we will take at 11:30 And I reached out for Steve Anderson. We'll see if Steve can, you know, slip in an opinion. I did send out Kev's plays, and here's where Kev stands after the 3 days, the first 3 days of the meet, the stand here. His $5 each way bets, he's had 40. So $400 in each way plays. And so far, he's brought back 376. So obviously, he's well within striking range of making this a profitable week with, you know, one good hit or, you know, a couple more, maybe a couple more hits. And it's at the website. It's at Derby Trail, and it's been posted as well, recirculated at Twitter. And Kev is, in terms of the price side in the Gold Cup, Tornado Flyer, the 11, 12 to 1, and good old Upstart, the two, who's about 3 to 1, 11 to 4. And he's defending, right? Yeah, he's defending. So we'll keep an eye. We got the first. In fact, let me refresh that page, because when I looked earlier this morning, it was not, they had not posted. So let's see where we stand. There we go. UK. Cheltenham. 18 minutes to post in the first. This is the JCB Triumph Hurdle. And got a 12-horse field. Everybody has stayed in, so I'm going to guess that the weather and the going is okay. And Kev's interests in here, he respects Vauban, your favorite, was 7-4 coming in, and currently 3-2. So there you go. He respects, clearly, Vauban's favoritism. And then for a price, he's interested in Dr. Parnassus, the 2. All right? So the 12 and the 2. And Dr. Parnassus is holding steady at 15-1 right now. All right? So there we go. We'll keep an eye on that. And we'll be talking to Hammer, I imagine, when the race is ready to go, and we'll catch the only one we'll take in its entirety is the Gold Cup today. All right. Quick rundown. Hammer, we'll get to Oaklawn. They are taking entries today, so Hammer's got a busy morning, but we got a little bit of time before he gets fully immersed, filling out fields for next week. So we'll check in with Rick, the Essex, and the Whitmore. It should be a really special day there tomorrow, I imagine. Whitmore T-shirts, and we'll talk to Rick about, we know from Ron. I mean, Ron has told you what it means to him. Whitmore Day at Oaklawn tomorrow. We'll check in with Scully as well, of course, and with Scott Shapiro. It is Twin Spires weekend preview at the races. And no leaderboard contest this week, no points races, but things get real serious next week with the Louisiana Derby and more. So we'll check in with Scully and Chap. Just a quick hit with Jay Privman. I want Jay to kind of flesh out his thoughts regarding Tampa Bay and Classic Causeway. And Jay, you know, Jay voiced in his recap, I think, you know, something that you heard from Brian Lynch, and you know, we had that conversation with Andy Beyer about the fig. And I agree with Jay that performance is a good performance. Let's not kid ourselves. And it's still very up in the air how that racetrack was playing. So I mean, listen, figs don't lie, as we, you know, say with Andy and with Andy. We'll know more. There's more to discover, let's say, about Classic Causeway. And I know Jay wrote about Secret Oath as well. So we'll get Jay's thoughts on Tampa Bay and on the Lucas Philly, the exciting Lucas Philly Bryland Farm. Nick is tied up today, so no Nick Tamaro, but good chance we'll catch up with Welsh. You got three stakes at Gulfstream, including a race that has kind of lost its, I don't want to say luster, but I mean, remember the Hutchison? Hutchison was a more important race at one time. I don't know exactly when and why the Hutchison, you know, for the 3-year-old sprinting. Right? The Hutchison would then lead into the Swale, right? January, February, or I should look up the Hutchison history. I just remember it being, you know, like a season starting and you know, nice, you know, some nice, not just sprinters either, winning the Hutchison. You know, horses that were easing their way into their 3-year-old season. But the Hutchison, the Silks Run, and the Any Limit on the stakes front tomorrow at Gulfstream. We're going to get a chance to talk to Callie Francois as well, the exercise rider turned paddock host and commentator and analyst. Callie at MJC, Maryland Jockey Club, of course, and they've got a nice stake card as well tomorrow. Including the private terms and the Not for Love, etc., and more. The race, the memorial race for Mr. Johnson. You know, we talked to his son last year. So, the Harrison Johnson. And more. All right, so Callie, happy to get her in for the first time. And as mentioned, maybe we'll get another set of winning pushes from Rich Yang, right? That'd be all right. All right, let's reach for Hammer and get going, and we'll be on our way. All right. I know, you know, Rich, luckily for the basketball plays, because Rich's what he tried at Gulfstream and at Oaklawn did not come to pass. But that, listen, you can't anybody that went on the hoop opinions, you did okay. Hammer, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you this fine day?
I'm good. There we go. Let me adjust your sound. I know you're taking entries, but I certainly wanted to, you know, get together to talk about the weekend, and you got a nice car tomorrow.
Yeah, we do. I'm actually got out of the office here. I'm back at the little information booth where we... We're hanging out ourselves here and I don't have a coat on. I tell you that this is the craziest weather anywhere. You know, yesterday it was gorgeous, and last night they had the parade, and then it started pouring about 7:30, and now it's, you know, now it's nice again. So it's finally catching up to me. It's kind of my allergies are catching up and everything else, but boy, you gotta gut it out here. I've been here, what, parts of 5 months, and I've seen snow, sleet, sun, ice, name it. You know. Oh, and sometimes all in the same week.
That's right. I was there for it. I can attest. You're not kidding.
No. A little worn down, but we'll gut it out. No, you mentioned, like I said, they had the St. Patrick's Day parade yesterday, and the I guess they're famous for the world's shortest parade. It's like 98 feet downtown there. And I guess it went well. The place was packed when we left here. I made a left instead of a right. And it sounds like I did the right thing. So I'm a little fresh this morning. But yeah, Whitmore Day is here tomorrow. Yesterday was our first of four Thursdays running. So trying to get the days straight in your head after going 3 days for a while, then throw it in the fourth day, which will actually be good. But the newly named Whitmore Steaks, formerly the Hot Spring Steaks, and that's quite an honor here because they don't rename a whole lot of races or anything. And so Whitmore is a local treasure here, as you know, and we talked to Ron when you were here, and it's quite a special horse. I think he won that race 4 years in a row, and so they're going to kind of honor him tomorrow and giving away T-shirts. A limited number of T-shirts. I think, I don't know what the exact number is, so if you're coming to get here early to get a T-shirt, but the weather's supposed to be good. Jennifer Kelly's here. You've seen her things on Twitter from she wrote the Sir Barton book, and she's here running around checking out Oakland for the first time, and seen a lot more, the weather's getting better, a lot more out-of-towners coming in for the weekend, so it's, you can tell we're starting to wind down a little bit.
Well, there's still, of course, you still got some big days ahead. And you know, as part of that, Rick, we should mention because I didn't get a chance to reach out for Michael McCarthy, but, CC and the Phillies and Mares getting ready for that Apple Blossom, that probably set up some nice rematch potential for the Apple Blossom.
Well, you know, I say we're winding down. We're starting to get to the final preps for the big races, and that's what I mean. So we had the Azari last week, which is the final prep for the Apple Blossom. Very cool. I mean, that was a great race. Of course, CC won the Apple Blossom in 2020, and, you know, they didn't want to commit right after the race, of course, and see how she was doing. But apparently I got a text saying, see you next month from Michael, so that's great. Clariere had her come back 2 days ago, Wednesday, at Fairgrounds and won a nice allowance race in a nice, nice way, you know, coming from off the pace. She looks good, which means she's now a possibility for the Apple Blossoms. Steve will run her or Pauline, who ran in the Azari. You got Latruska sitting on the sidelines waiting to come back and defend her title. She Dares the Devil ran really good. We hope that she runs back. So that race is starting to take a little shape, as is the Arkansas Derby as well, with a couple of announcements. Horses committing our way with, you know, obviously the filly is big news. Wayne Lucas stabled here and just said, hey, you know what? Let's try to pull an Althea again. And running the Arkansas Derby with Secret Oath, Un Ojo, who took the Rebel. Actually, I think it's due up tomorrow. And here's Mr. Whitmore right here. Un Ojo is due up here tomorrow to work on the track. Actually got a call from Eric Guillot, who has something to do with the horse in some fashion.
Mike Moreno. That's his man, Moreno, Southern Equine.
I know. So he came. He's coming up. He said, I'll be there to watch the horse work, so he's coming back, and we got Cyberknife just committed, and Barbara Road, We the People, so, you know, starting to take shape, which is what you're looking for here, so that's great. That's what I mean. We're starting to get things together here for these final races, and so it's just great, you know, winding down here. We got the sprint, like I said, the Whitmore, that's the prep for the Count Fleet, and it's all coming together.
Nice. Nice. All right. Well,
there's a couple of things that we had that kind of cool story last week with Art Sherman's horse running for Jerry Hollendorfer, winning in a snowstorm. And that was kind of a cool story. Of course, Art Sherman and Jerry Hollendorfer, both from my part of the woods, like at Golden Gate Fields. When I first started, they were there, and it was kind of neat to have them. And they're going to run her back in the carousel, which is on Arkansas Derby Day. And Art called and said he's coming, and they're all coming, so that'll be kind of cool. And there's another Hollendorfer story, but I don't want to do it this morning with Rich Robertson, who you know, and had a good conversation with him, a feel good story about them claiming a horseback, and you know, I'd be kind of cool to get him on with us in the next week or two and have him tell this story. I was going to tell it, and I said, you know what, be kind of cool coming from him. It's just one of those neat stories. So. We got that going. I just wanted to run that by and going through my notes here. I saw your donut thing on Twitter. I'm trying to find a good, you know, an exceptional donut place here. I haven't found one yet, but a lot of good ones mentioned, right?
that thread is 2 years old, and it was the funniest thing because it came up with Jay originally in April of 2020. And, you know, let's face facts. Things were very quiet in April of 2020. So I started that thread, and somebody must have found, I forget who. Oh, it was Hardoon. John Hardoon found it, and he commented, and then discovered that the place that he had remembered from, you know, from California days. Had closed, apparently. Somebody responded. But anyway, the thing has reignited after a 2 year moratorium, I guess. Everybody, you know, I guess I termed it correctly when I introduced it as the most important thread ever. People's favorite donut shops. It is very funny. And listen, on the racetrack, the donuts are king. Yeah.
Absolutely. Racetracks and donuts go together, and you have to know a good donut shop because that's kind of the deal. If you're an agent or something good happens to you, you get donuts and you bring them to the barn in the morning or the office or whatever. So you got to know a good donut spot. So that's it. It was kind of funny when I saw it because I hadn't seen the original, and I go, you know, who has a picture of a donut shop in their phone? Well, I, you know, Voodoo Donuts up in Portland, when we used to fly up to Portland a lot to rent a car there, and then when we used to, you know, tour a lot in the northwest, so it was like a great spot. The first stop was always Voodoo Donuts, and if you got there early enough, there wasn't a line. And of course, you know, I got pictures of it, you know, Voodoo Donuts in my phone, which is, you know, really nuts. but I only put Voodoo in there because someone else had mentioned VG's down in Cardiff, which is definitely the best spot that I've ever been. VG's Donuts there down in just north of Del Mar. So anyway, enough of that. But I thought that was pretty good. Good car tomorrow here at Oaklawn. Going over the rider standings real quick. We got Arrieta and David Cabrera in a battle. 42-41. Ricardo Santana right behind, 35. And Ramon Vasquez and Florent Giroux, 28-26. So that's nothing. It's not news, but it's been a good battle for these guys. The apprentice here, John Giraldo, has been winning a lot lately. So keep your eye on him. It's always nice to have a hot apprentice, and he's turning into be that here. The trainer standings: Asmussen leads the formerly cold Robertino Diodoro by 3, and as cold as he was for the past for a couple weeks ago, he's been on fire the last couple weeks, and so he's. He's climbed back into the trainer standings in the second place, and Brad Cox and John Ortiz and Chris Hartman and Broberg right behind. So, you know, nothing unusual, but just wanted to run through those. Well, tomorrow we've got a couple stakes, a couple allowance races. We split a maiden 3-year-old long on the dirt, which you don't see too often. So, quickly run through those. In that first half of the maidens, the sixth race. We kind of wait for this horse to come back. Plausible Denial. I thought he sprinted the first time, and he ran well. He got beat by a good thing. And his second start, he got bet down below 2-1 first time out, which is always encouraging. He's 10-1 in the program here on the stretch out for Jimmy DeVito. And I think the horse is definitely live in there. It's you know, it's not an easy spot, but at 10-1, watch him coming back for Giovanni Franco and Jimmy DeVito. And the Whitmore comes up next, and I'll tell you what, this is a sprint race. You look at the times that these horses run, they all run nines like nobody's, every race, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9. So hey, got to find a way to separate them somehow. It's but if you look deep, Hollis, he's on the outside. Every time he seems to get that outside position where he can kind of see what's going on, he's not forced to do things he doesn't want to do. He runs real well. I mean, last time he was 7-7. He won two races back. He was 6-6, and he won. He won for easily. A couple races before that, he was 7-9. He got beat ahead. So when he's forced on the inside, it seems to just kind of takes him out of his game. So I like the post position. He's a win type, and you know, so obviously Santana stays aboard here. So you're not going to get a ton of price on him. He's 3-1 in the program. He might stay around there. But nice price, nice post for him. Bob's Edge from Larry Jones, who, I mean, just ran the race of his life last time. Whether he can duplicate that, I'm not sure. The old bounce theory, it's been a while since he's run. He's taken his time, come back and worked right along. But, you know, let's see him do it twice in a row. Greeley and Ben's an interesting horse in here. Claimer. Former claimer, he's been running a bunch of starter allowance races, but he's won some stakes. He ran second in the Thanksgiving Day race there to Just Might, who's a real horse. I mean, he's run like 9 out of 10, 10 out of 11, whatever it is on the page. You know, ran through the TV last time in 9 and change here on this track. So, you know, I don't know class-wise, but he's run with them. I don't know whether he can beat him, but interesting line there. Did you look at that race?
Not yet. I haven't.
Yeah, check that out.
Well, and Greeley, I've been a huge fan of Greeley and Ben's for an extended period, and I think we had Broberg on once and talked about you know, what a cool horse he is.
Absolutely, I mean, like I said, he just fires. I mean, all last year, you know, Prairie Meadows, he's running 8 and change, you know, so fast is fast, and he's carried that speed to wherever he's gone. So. Be an interesting play. I mean, I don't know. He's got a lot of ones there. Whether he's, like I said, and his numbers are good. So he might, you know, come at a price. And like I said, he likes to win. We like that stuff. The Essex, which is the final pre-race before the Oakland Handicap, is kind of a repeat of the Razorback. So, you know, what you saw there, you see here, that race came down to Plainsman. And nailing Thomas Shelby on the money. Thomas Shelby kind of ran the whole race. It was one of those races. Ah, too bad he had to lose, but he did. Same group here. Bo Limonaire comes back. Maybe a premature move in the mud last time. Comes back. Santana stays on him. I look for this horse to. He's 8-1. You might get lost in the shuffle here. You might get a decent price. He, like I said, he hasn't run since December, but that's okay. I'd give him a look. And Warrior's Charge skipped an allowance race to run back in this race here and hasn't run since January. But when he's good, he's very good. And he's kind of the one that didn't run in the last one, but he's faced these before. So Plainsman, steady as they go. Watch out for him, but I look for maybe a price in Bo Luminaire.
Cool.
You know, nice races, a couple other allowance races on there, one to end the card, one in the middle there, and, you know, solid card on Saturday, and I think the weather's going to be good, and like I said, races are starting to come together here.
No, it's going to peak, obviously, as we get to the... You know, the races that used to comprise the Racing Festival of the South, and this Arkansas Derby is going to be very, very exciting. The build up to it, and you know, I think people are already excited. So.
Yeah, you know, we don't, you know, knock on wood that we hear that, but it was, you know, we were kind of wondering for about a week ago, like, okay, who are we going to get? And all of a sudden, boom, 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 people started committing, and, you know, the new time for the race, I think, has helped. Of course, for years and years and years, it was run 3 weeks before the Derby, and with the extended meet here, decided to move it back to 5 weeks, which I think was obviously, you know, you don't know, but I think it was a good move in today's world. more time between races. And, you know, let's hope it continues. You know, the good news continues on this front. But right now, pretty exciting.
Absolute. Hammer, let me just watch here. I think we're heading toward the run for home in the first at Cheltenham. They're going 2-8, so let's pick up. Let me get the call up and going. Here we go. I think I'm muted. All right.
Get on the inside of the red and white jacketed Fedor. They're trapped by Ikari Alen, green and yellow hoops. And then Vauban in the pink with the green spots over. Two out Fedor and Porticello. Vauban looking a threat now in third. Then Pied Piper in the white cap has come through just to the outside of Ikari Alen. Dr. Panassus and Ilete Tompas, they straighten up now on the long, long run to the final flight. Porticello coming under pressure. Fedor just about the leader. Vauban cruising up on the left, and then in behind these is Pied Piper with a good run too. Ikari Alen and Ilete Tom, and there's six in line as they race on to the final flight, but Vauban seems to be going best under Paul Townend. He hasn't moved much, approaching the last, and Vauban now begins to assert up over to the last. Vauban a little untidy. Pied Piper and Fedor, they're battling on well in the red and whites, but Vauban finds more now and kicks away and up the hill. Vauban wins the JCB Triumph Hurdle. Tie for second, Fedor on the near side of Pied Piper, and a gap back to Ikari Alen in fourth.
Well, the favorite comes through at 6-5, and that's a great line. A little untidy, meaning the way he hit that fence, the last fence, and then quickly, though, gathered himself up. And Paul Townend, not Townsend, as we were reminded by by Sean Clancy yesterday, wins another one, 6-5, which is palatable. So Kev has been just chipping away like this. We're waiting for that monster score, that big long shot lad score, and six more tries at it yet today. So I wanted to slip that in. We're underway on Gold Cup Day at Cheltenham, Hammer.
Well, we have it on in the background in the office, so you kind of glance up and watch those. Always fun, always great to see the big crowds and everything else there, so kind of cool. Maybe one day we'll get there and be able to check it out. But right now we're here, and thankfully for the locals, the Razorbacks won last night. So everyone's still smiling here in town. And so Saturday is going to be a double big day in town here with the Whitmore Day and the Razorbacks playing. So that's all good locally. And I'll be rooting for my home teams, UCLA and, of course, Arizona. So we'll see how it goes. And you know, Rich Ng had a big day. Glad to hear His book is coming back, the Horse Racing for Dummies, second version, so that's kind of cool. And that's it. We're off and taking entries for next Thursday.
Well, Hammer, I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you over the weekend.
Absolutely. Enjoy. See you at the races, everybody.
Away they go on your Twitter, folks. There's Hammer starting us off and into the racing office activities, of course, and filling out the card for, what do you say, for Thursday, right? Yeah. All right. We did get a confirmation that Steve Anderson is able to join us, so we will get a savvy, another opinion on the Gold Cup, so look forward to that. Let's look forward now to Scully, going to reach for James and get into his thoughts for the weekend. All right. And I didn't ask James today if he was, if he had any NCAA thoughts, but he might. He might. I also will use the opportunity to mention, because Scully looks at Turfway, you know, fairly often. The Queen Stake, another one of these new stakes at Turfway. And this actually, it's just a field of seven, but you've got some, some horses that are well-known, including Caravelle in here, and Club Car. Club Car, Club Car has entered, this will be the third stake in 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, that Club Car has entered. Adjustments. So when it all came down to it, Ben Colbert didn't have to ship any farther than from Keeneland up to Turfway tomorrow. And we got James, I think. There we go. James Scully, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Steve. Glad to be on with you. It's a sort of calm before the storm for horse racing. We got all these Kentucky Derby final round of qualifiers coming up in the next 3 weeks, and all those races are are part of like big racing cards at their respective tracks. So next few weeks should be a lot of fun.
No doubt, and we should also mention with that intro actually to conversation, we didn't get an update last week, but since this is a pause, as you note. Give us a leaderboard look with the 100-point races getting ready to come.
Let me pull those up. I had that earlier. It is definitely, like you said, it's a pause in there. But it's still really just wide open, the leaderboard competition is right now, because of all the point values increasing over the next few weeks with all the major qualifiers being worth 185 points total and opportunity to separate from yourself from the pack. All right, let me see if I can pull it up, Steve. Sorry for this delay.
No, no problem.
Talk about not being ready.
That's all right. Just curious. And of course, we only give the first names, we don't, and locations. So those listening that are on the leaderboard, and some nice prizes. And I suppose, if you haven't been paying attention with all these 100-point races to come, there is still chance to make a move. The points correspond in the Twin Spires leaderboard contest to the points being awarded.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it's a minimum of $25 a bet. It's the first horse you bet in each one of these races. But, yeah, you get the same points for first, second, and third that are available. Right now, Mark in the state of Washington and John in the state of California are tied at the top with 500 points. So, there's going to be some, unless Mark and John continue to pick winners, there's going to be some shuffling on the board. Bruce in Minnesota, Elizabeth in Ohio come next at 450, and Lynn in Pennsylvania is fifth with 425 right now. So,
all right. So those aren't totals that are, unreachable, certainly.
Yes. Yeah. So, And we have like plenty of bet-back offers going on. Obviously, with this Cheltenham Gold Cup going on at our sister at our Chrisnet.com, we have free PPs for that. We have free international PPs available for customers at Chrisnet.com. So, with Dubai World Cup coming up and Hong Kong and all the international racing, good source to get those past performances.
Excellent, and I'm sure that. There'll be a flood of information leading into the big weekends ahead. James, let me get a Kentucky Derby report from you first in terms of how you saw the Tampa Bay Derby result and Classic Causeway. And, of course, I'm sure you followed the discussion about the time and the figs. What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Classic Causeway made it look easy, had everything its own way, and won pretty easily. I will say this. It looked like to me I ran Ortiz Rouse him a little bit in the stretch. I wasn't thrilled with how he finished considering how slow, or how easy he had things in the early going. Would have liked to seen him finish faster. They ran the Challenger at the same distance an hour earlier, two races earlier, and Scalding, who won that, earned his first stakes win, ran 1.37 seconds faster. So it's just a little bit, I can understand the race being a little bit slower because of the pace, but still when a quality horse goes slow early, you expect him to go fast late, and he never really quickened, I didn't think, in the stretch. But one thing about it with Classic Causeway is that he still looks good in a sense, because I do think this final round of prep races, Steve, this final round of qualifiers is really going to determine so much. I think in a lot of years we get to this point and there's as like an overwhelming favorite. And sure, they have to run well in their final prep, but a lot of people just expect them to. But when I look at these up races coming up, I mean, I see a lot of these races where there's not an overwhelming favorite, whether it's the Bluegrass with Classic Causeway and Smile Happy, the Wood with Early Voting and Morello, Sanity the Derby, Forbidden Kingdom and Messier, Florida Derby with, you know, Simplification, Guadabario, and Charge It. Even the Arkansas Derby with the Philly. The only one of those preps that looks like to me is going to have a real prohibitive favorite is Louisiana Derby, which is next Saturday with Epic Center, because some of those horses, the horses that ran second and third in the Risen Star, aren't coming back in that spot.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if anybody does jump in, actually, regarding Epicenter and you know, his,
you know. Yeah, you're going to have to be Rattle and Roll's going to invade from the Fountain of Youth, and Call Me Midnight, who won the comp, is going to be back for that. Pioneer Medina, who ran fourth in the Risen Star, his stakes debut for Pletcher, will be back. And, you know, you're right, there could be some others that ship in as well. The plans are still up in the air. You know, like, one horse that caught my eye last Saturday was at We the People for Brissett. Be interesting to see if he brings him back, where he brings him back, because Arkansas Derby would only be a 3-week turnaround. Obviously, he likes Oaklawn, and he could do it, but he has some other options available. And there's another horse out there, Cyber Knight, who won an allowance on the undercard for Brad Cox on Risen Star Day. He's going to the Arkansas Derby. So I do think it's right for a horse like, you know, those, you know, Charge It as well, to jump forward in their first stakes appearance. Just really has a pretty wide open field right now.
The action picks up next week. All right, James, let's turn and get some opinions.
All right, yeah, I'll give you some horses, and I'll finish up with just some quick basketball plays. I'll start right at Oaklawn Park, give my thoughts in the two stake races they have tomorrow. Starting with that Whitmore. You know, one thing about this 6-furlong stake race, Steve, is that I think in past years at Oaklawn, we have had Whitmore, we've had CZ Rocket, we've had Flagstaff, we've had a lot, you know, some really hard-hitting quality sprinters competing there. And I think, like, coming into this season, there was a real expectation that Nashville was going to, like, fill that kind of void, be the next real top sprinter. But it just didn't work out for him for whatever reason. He didn't come back same horse and, you know, has been exposed to the sense, isn't even in the Whitmore. I think the horses that have been running in those races, you know, I don't fault them. Bob's Edge, Hollis, a lot of these suspects in there. But I'm just like, I think they're ripe for this race is ripe for a new face to invade and run big. And I've landed on number 7, Tulane Trist. I think his last two starts were really good. He has an upward trajectory for Cherie DeVoe. He did get stakes experience last summer running in the Grade 1 Woody Stevens. And I just loved his race. He might not have faced the toughest competition on at Fairgrounds last time on the Risen Star undercard, but he looked good doing it. And it wasn't the Risen Star undercard, it was a week earlier, but he looked good doing it. And I think he's going to get a good setup with just, you know, pretty solid pace and sitting just off it at mid-pack and finish up best under Brian Hernandez.
I didn't see her after. I saw her before the sale day started on Wednesday, and I wanted to ask. It's funny because I had seen that Tulane Trist was in here, and I had meant to ask Cherie.
Add one more thing. That last race, Tulane Trist, he really beat a suspect group, so it's easy to look at it on paper. He wins by 7.5 lengths in a hand ride and wonder who he beat. But two starts back, he came back at at Churchill Downs, and he ran, I thought, a really big race that day. He won by 2.75 lengths over Cool Quest. Cool Quest came back and won, a tough allowance at Gulfstream in December. He was favored last time out in the Sunshine Sprint Stakes, the Sunshine Million Sprint, and he ran second in that. And he's a really good sprinter, I think, or potentially could be a good sprinter. So, he has to run against good horses and beating them, I think, Tulane Trist.
Very good. 9-2.
Yeah. And then looking at the Essex race number 9, mile is 16. I thought that the Razorback handicap had like some pace in there. I mean, they, several horses were up there contesting it. And I just thought Thomas Shelby really ran a really solid effort that day. Dug in gamely, looked like Plainsman was going to, just perhaps blow right by him and open up. And I just think he gets a lot better set up today for, Deodoro and David Cohen, or tomorrow, drawing the rail. I like him wire to wire in Essex.
I describe this group as, the usual suspects. It just feels like, right, that they run over and over again at each other.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. One thing about that race is that I think Warrior's Charge is a little bit of a wall card. I think if he was in, top form, he'd clearly be, he could win it easily, but he's just not in good form. I mean, it's just like, I know that he won that last race and looked pretty good doing it, but his previous stakes starts concern me. Let me just say it that way. I can, granted he's coming off a good win, but I'm a little bit leery of Warrior's Charge, but, it wouldn't shock me if he did bounce back and earn the victory.
Yep.
And then I'm going to give a couple plays at Santa Anita. They've got that mandatory payout in the Jackpot 6. And so I'm just going to throw out a couple of those for Saturday. A couple of horses I like that Juan Hernandez is on. Both of them are listed at a decent price on the morning line. Starting in race number 5, which is a 1 mile entry-level option or optional claimer. It got 9 horses, and there's just a lot of speed in here. There's a potential for 4 or 5 runners to be mixing it up in the early stages. Number 7, Divine Armor, is a one-run closer that I thought, was running pretty solid last fall. They shipped him to Oaklawn in their last fall, early winter. They shipped him to Oaklawn 2 back. He never ran a step that day. And then he came back last time at Santa Anita and really ran a big race, I thought, behind a slow pace. I thought that was arguably his best race to date for John Sadler. I think he's going to move forward off of that race and get a perfect setup. He's 8-1 on the morning line. I like him in that spot.
Number 7, Divine Armor, looking at 8-1 for Sadler.
And then in race number 6, I did not think that this was an accomplished group. I thought all the favorites in this starter allowance on the turf were vulnerable, and I thought there was a solid amount of pace in here. And I thought that number 1 Sky Ice last time just did not get the right trip. He was too eager early off of the freshening. Got a little bit chewed up, like chasing a hot pace that day. But I think drawing the rail pace and being second start off the freshening for Sadler, he's a horse that to me basically really just started coming on 4 starts back. He ran 3 good races in a row. He got much needed seasoning last time against a good field at Santa Anita, ran for it, and I think he's going to sit the good stalking trip, saving ground. And he at 10-1 on the morning line in a pretty wide open race, I thought he was definitely one to include on any multi-race wagers.
All right.
And then one other last second Friday play. I'm going to go, and I'm not going to take a big price here. Number 5, Motion Picture, race 7. It's a class test for him, but I think he fits considering his last couple of efforts. Going to get a good setup on the front end with David Cohen. He's the 5-1 fourth choice, so he isn't one of the top 3 picks on the morning line. But they're not going to be a ton of value, but I'm going to look to build my bankroll a little bit with number 5 Motion Picture in race number 7 at Oaklawn today.
All right, so 7th. 7. Yeah. OP, very good.
And then, Rich mentioned Rich Eng with that Mountain West Conference. I got this sort of same feeling last year. The Big 12 was was awful. 8-9 in games, and from nine teams, and they Michigan won yesterday, but Iowa and Indiana both got beat. Iowa got upset. I am playing. I'm going to play against. I am playing against Michigan State with Davidson tonight, Steve. Michigan State does not have the backcourt they've had in recent years. It's a good, favorable matchup for Davidson. They're getting 1 point. I like them against Michigan State. I think there's a couple of Big Ten teams that can win today, perhaps Purdue and with Illinois. But I'm really sort of looking to play against those Big Ten teams. I don't think they're good tourney teams. My other take is the Pac-12. Last year, the Pac-12 exceeded expectations. I think this year, they got three teams. Arizona's legit. I think USC and UCLA are highly vulnerable. USC just doesn't have the scoring. They are going to lose today to Miami as a 2-point favorite. I love the Miami Hurricanes at 3-10. And I'm taking St. Mary's over UCLA tomorrow. UCLA is a 2.5-point favorite. A lot of people have them on to make the Final Four in their brackets. The bookmakers are begging you to bet UCLA. The reason why is because they're not the same team they were last year. They're completely vulnerable. I love the St. Mary's on Saturday against UCLA, Steve.
All right, so St. Mary's, and you get some points. Miami, that was a money line, it sounded like. And
yeah.
Davidson, you know, Davidson is one of those schools. When I started the show and I was talking about making emotional plays in the NCAAs, and Davidson happens to be a team that one of those teams I have affection for. In fact, from my hometown in Manchester, Connecticut, Billy Massey, who played in the A's organization. Billy was a terrific baseball player, and I went to see him play when I was working in Charlotte, and he was at Davidson, and so I got some affection for Davidson. I wouldn't mind seeing them do well.
Their best player transferred for Michigan State, Lawyer, and he's been a perfect fit for that motion offense. He's had a great year, and like I said, if Michigan State had better guard play, Davidson might be in trouble, but they don't, and that's why I like them.
There we go. Good job. So we got some NCAA action from James, as well as a variety of Oaklawn and also Santa Anita. James, good luck this weekend. We got a big visit next week.
Sounds good, Steve. Best of luck to you.
James Scully, everybody. And that gets us toward the top of the hour. And Case, let's take a break here. And we'll come back with Prib. Jay Pribman's going to join us, as well as Steve Anderson. So we'll spend the next half hour on the West Coast. Scott Shapiro, if he still lived on the West Coast, it would be a West Coast trifecta. But he's in Kentucky. Mike Welch later as well. And the Cheltenham Gold Cup at the bottom of hour three. Callie Francois going to join us for the first time, too. And talk about that nice state card at Laurel tomorrow. Back after this, Hour 2, Weekend Preview at the Races, brought to you by Twin Spires.
Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in